Hey guys, it's Friday. This is day number 5 of the run of podcasts of A Waste of Time with It's the Real that we are calling February Surprise.
Surprise, good things come to an end, but do not worry, we will be back on Tuesday with another episode. But for today, we've got Mike Carson on the podcast.
So Mike Carson, and maybe people don't know because this is the first substantial interview that he's ever done. He is Big Sean's creative director. And he's got a great story. But Jeff, before we get into that story, I wanted to say a little something to the people. Now, whether you've been rocking with us for nearly a decade, or if you're brand new to us, thanks to this very here podcast, we appreciate you. Listen, we're just two kids who grew up loving hip-hop music and hip-hop culture, and we are so grateful that we've carved our own lane in this world, and we've been around for, man, going on 10 years. Now, whether it's weekly sketch videos or absurdist interviews, podcasts, or even our music videos, you guys have been there to support, to spread the word, and to push us forward.
In just a few weeks, the two of us are going to be living out our dream and headlining SOBs here in New York City. It is called Your Girls Tour. And you know who's been on that stage. Everybody from Kanye to Drake to John Legend to 2 Chainz to Schoolboy Q and Kendrick and Chance the Rapper. And now these two idiots. But having attended a million concerts at SOBs over the last 10 years, we know what kind of opportunity this is. And we've been working very hard over the last 2 months getting ready for an unforgettable night.
So here's the thing. We don't just want to show up on February 23rd like we've done our whole career. Let's aim for the sky and listen, let's sell SOBs out.
And this is where you can help. New York City.
Brooklyn.
The Bronx.
Westchester.
New Jersey.
Connecticut.
And beyond. South Harlem. If you love It's the Real, if you appreciate what we bring to the game, if our podcast is a soundtrack to your commute, if we can bring laughs to an otherwise shitty day, show us some love for this concert and buy your tickets today. I don't care if you're in New York. I don't care if you're outside of New York. Buy your tickets today to Your Girls Tour on February 23rd. Tickets are literally the price of a movie, and please know that this night will be a movie.
So go to itsthereal.com right now. Don't wait any longer. Go to itsthereal.com. And let's make history together. Jeff, we have Chicago's own Mike Carson in the building today. Tell the people a little something about him.
Mike Carson, we have known since he was 18 and couldn't get into clubs. That was our job to get him in. He has watched The Throne. He has filmed The Throne. He has been the creative director for Big Sean. He has done visual work for Drake and Bryson Tiller and beyond. He is somebody who I have said will be my boss one day, and I truly believe it. He is the future.
When do you want to get into this episode?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Harrison Ford, a.k.a. stomping in my Air Force One.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. wrist so cold, a.k.a. wearing short sleeves.
Yo, it's Mike Carson, a.k.a. Lil Uber X, a.k.a. your mama's favorite director.
Yeah, and this is Waste Time with It's the Real. Mike, congratulations, number one, on the release of this new Big Sean album.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your whole career. We're, like, super excited to have you up here to talk about the whole thing.
Man, thank you. I'm honored to be here.
We've known you since you were, what, like?
18.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I was thinking about that on the ride here. Like, only a few people have known me since I was 18 that I still, like, know today.
Every once in a while, like, all of good music will do shows together.
Very rarely. Yeah,
I mean, but like every once in a while. But so how does that work in terms of creative visions? Like, because everybody seems to have a creative director, right? And so
yeah.
Like, you have like 6 creative directors.
I don't think there's been a real good music show since the creative director era. If you think about it, like the last real life good music show was South by.
Yeah.
If you think about it, like for real, like, okay, we're going to really get everybody in one room and plan this out. That wasn't even really planned out. It was at South By in 2012. Mm-hmm. So there hasn't been a real good music. Like Summer Jam was like, okay, Governor's Ball got canceled,
yep,
and
yeah,
we're going to all come out on Sean's set.
Mm-hmm.
So we were already there, and it was like, okay, here we're going to write the set list. I think we like knew, like there was like, okay, Kanye might come out, and then it was like, okay, Kanye is coming out. So I had a plan of what I thought it was going to be, and then we got back there. Not the case, which is cool. So we all just sat there and did the set list, and then I remember how all these like looks in my head like that I was going to do. And then like I'm walking out, and like Kanye is like, "This ain't Tumblr, do one look." I was like,
"Are you still on Tumblr?"
No.
Yeah,
because we were just talking about this. Like,
yeah, I don't know if the value still translates. In
it was a pocket where I was way too much on Tumblr. Like, very inspired by Tumblr.
40ouncevan.tumblr.com.
Not at all. but yeah, so like good music. I think there's like a good music show this year or something, like at a festival. So.
Is there a good music Tumblr?
There's a good music. There's a good music.
100,000 good music Tumblr.
There's like a good music Twitter that's verified. I have no idea who runs it. It's a lot of.
It's me.
I knew it.
Yeah. I'm glad that the truth finally came
that's
out.
That's right. That's right. Where are you originally from?
From Chicago, like the burbs. So,
yeah.
And then I moved here, and then I moved to LA. So.
So.
And that's it. Bye.
Where? Yeah. Which suburb of Chicago are you from?
West burbs. So like Bellwood, Maywood area.
Okay.
And then,
is that like where Home Alone was shot?
No, not that. Not quite that suburb. But when I went to high school, I went to like a suburb that was super Home Alone.
Very. Did you have a big family growing up?
No, it's just like me, my brother, my mom, my dad.
Your brother is older or younger?
Younger. He's 20. Well, he'll probably be 21 when this comes out.
So you, oh really?
Yeah.
Happy early birthday to him?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're growing up, you're the oldest child. That means you experience everything first.
Yeah.
So were you getting into trouble as a youngster? Were you good? What were you like?
No, I probably was a good one. I was like editing videos and like,
oh, you were
watching TV.
What are you using like at that point? VHS or mini DV?
Nah,
or?
I'm like probably YouTube era. So like, when I was like nine. yeah. So I wasn't quite like I definitely shot first on tape, which is mini DV. Actually, no, I didn't shoot first on tape. When I was like nine, my dad bought me this camera. It was like $100. It was called like Digital Blue or something.
Yep.
Which, thinking about it now, it was super ahead of its time because it was like a digital video recorder in like 2000. Yeah, like 2000. And you can like edit crazy like videos, put like explosions and like helicopters on video.
So everything was in camera?
It was in camera, but like you like plugged it into the computer and like you can like do crazy editing. So that was like my first experience with that.
And
like,
you were nine.
Nine, yeah.
Were you a Mac household?
No.
PC?
Yeah, like compact PC.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like a huge tower?
Yeah, huge tower. Very slow. Dial-up internet, AOL.
Did you have like PCs or Apples at your school?
I didn't even like, I never went to a school that had any type of media program.
Nothing?
No, because like, I was like growing up, I would do like sound and stuff maybe at school, like sound engineering or like plays or like school events, but there was no like video program or like graphic program. I went to like middle school, I went to like Christian school, so it was very like assembly, musical, church vibe. So
right.
I was like doing sound.
I thought that God would be like an Apple fan. So
no, not.
Not. 10 years ago, we had jobs.
I know. Yeah.
God.
So you're editing video at nine.
Yeah, like
is that because you're watching like movies and saying that's what I want to do?
How did you get into that?
Honestly, probably just like music videos. Like I like vividly remember being like young, like watching Hype Williams, like Aaliyah videos.
And, yeah.
Like, and then, like, on the film side, this is going to sound crazy, but, like, Robert Rodriguez, like, Spy Kids had this, like, crazy, like, extended featurette thing where he was, like, showing how he made the movie. And then, like, he had this, like, on the side, he had this thing called, like, 10-Minute Film School, I think it's called. So, like, a combination of those things, I was like, I want to direct movies at the time, I thought. But, like, now I don't want to direct movies.
Did you shoot like just around with like your friends and stuff? Yeah,
really, like when I was like nine, it was like with my brother, like shooting like fake music videos and like.
Was he a good subject?
Thinking about it now, yeah, I think it worked out.
Did he just do everything that you asked of him?
Yeah. Like at a young age, and then like once I like got older, it was like all right, friends like start to rap and stuff. So it's like oh shoot, my like rap thing.
When we were growing up, we we went to a day camp, right, over the summer, and they did have some sort of like photography and
video program
and, and radio for a time too, where they had this like little like pirate radio station that we just took over. So if you like drove by the camp for those like, you know, like 100 two feet, blocks,
That's dope.
you get like to hear like 104.7 or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
And so, but when we did all these movies, like it got to the point where we were just like, you had 40, you know, 12 and 13 year olds, and we're like, somehow we're gonna recreate
the Thriller video.
Beat It. Yeah, Michael Jackson Beat It, and it was just like, I'm sure a lot of those kids had no sort of, you know, understanding of it, but like for us who were just like in charge of it, we're like, oh yeah, that's gonna make sense. did you ever write any movies early back then, and like have any just like bizarre plot lines? Because we also had like, we were just like, oh yeah, Men in Slacks, like, you know, a 70s version of Men in Black, you know.
I think you guys are way more creative than me, so.
No, we just like puns.
That's tight.
Yeah.
At that point, you're working with an in-camera situation. You're doing effects yourself. You're working with your brother. At what point do you sort of like branch out and start collaborating with other friends? And
I think like school projects, like, by the time I got to like high school, I'm like skipping a lot of stuff, but by the time I got to like high school, it was like, all right, you have to like do this presentation. And it's usually like a PowerPoint or a poster or something. I was like, I'll make a video. Which is, thinking about it now, it's way harder.
Right.
But at the time, it was like, I was like, this is way more fun than me. Like, we read like Beowulf.
Yeah.
We did like it's probably still on YouTube now.
Really?
It's like, I have to find it.
Well, what is it?
It's like a full 13-minute recreation of Beowulf.
Whoa.
For school.
Directed 70, by Mike Carson.
Yeah, 70 million views.
Yeah, 70 million negative views.
So you go from public elementary school to...
I went to like, elementary to middle. Middle was like when I've really started like, you know, figuring myself out in like the media sense of things. So I was like doing sound and playing around with the video stuff and like making beats and stuff.
While you're in Catholic middle school.
Yeah, it was Christian middle school. Yeah.
Christian middle school.
Very black.
So you don't know the difference.
Yeah.
Very, very black.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, what are your teachers? Are your teachers giving you any like creative sort of help in that regard?
No. Nah.
You're just getting it all out outside of that.
I had like one music teacher who was like super like supportive of just me as a creative, in the sense of like, yo, take piano, yo, this is how you do sound. He gave me like a mixing board, but not in like a, here's how to do videos. It was like YouTube, man, and like just figuring it out.
So you're 6'8", 6'7"?
Probably, yeah.
How are you at playing the piano?
I was not 6'8" in middle school, so. I wasn't like, at the time, I wasn't like super hyped on piano. Mm-hmm. Like looking back, I like wish I would have just thought about it a little harder. I probably could be like Scott Storch or something.
Oh man.
Not all Scott Storch.
Yeah, all you need is like, a little bit of cocaine. Yeah.
I meant more so on the like piano. It's like the freshest on my brain because I keep seeing all these videos of Scott Storch playing piano recently.
Yeah. Did you upload everything you did to YouTube?
No. Well, maybe in high school, yeah. I like made all these videos private, but I'll show you guys.
Yeah.
If I can find them. But yeah, high school is like when it's like YouTube was like a thing and like trying to get subscribers and stuff. I probably had like 20 subscribers.
Where did you go from that $100 camera?
I had this like JCPenney digital camera thing my parents got me for Christmas. It's probably like $200, which is like a pretty expensive Christmas gift.
Well, and it's double as much as first one.
So like that was like more middle school, late middle school times. And then I got a mini DV camera, and that was like a big deal. It wasn't as easy. You have to like figure out how to use the editing program for real. I think it was like Sony Vegas or something I was using.
All right, so Mike Wax and you first meet up when you're what, 17, 18?
17, yeah.
And so Mike Wax was running Ilroots.
Yeah.
Were you also part of Ilroots at the time?
Not at the time. I met him in college.
Right.
I think a friend of mine had a class with him. They were like, yo, this dude Mike Wax. And at the time, I wasn't like really on Ilroots like that. I think I was super into Two Dope Boys or something.
Wow. Which is crazy. Does Mike know that?
Probably not, but he will now. They were like, yo, like, I was like, oh, that's crazy.
But you went to Columbia College, right?
Yeah, Columbia College in Chicago. So
how far away from home was that?
Not far, like 30 minutes.
You could take the train there?
Yeah, but I lived on campus.
Oh, you did?
Which was like a Chicago apartment. I'm still paying for it.
Oh. But what did you think you were going to do with your college career?
I went for television editing, but I knew I didn't want to do that. But that was kind of like a safe, like, everybody's like, don't go to film school, you'll never get a job. Like, at least try to like get a job.
Right.
So it was like, all right, Chicago has like a big TV presence, I guess. So mm-hmm. it's like TV editing, but I knew I didn't want to do that, but I knew I was pretty good at editing. So yeah, that's what I went. So like I met Mike at like our school was hosting like a B.O.B. concert in like the lobby. And like Mike knew B.O.B. or something. So
sure.
Yeah, he's like 18 and he like knew all the rappers.
Right.
So
yeah.
like I met him there and I like filmed some stuff and like he was like, yo, can I use it for Oats? I was like, yeah, let me put my like website in the site. I think my site was like MikeCarson.tk. Like that was like the free domain at the time. I remember being super hyped was on Two Dope Boys. Like, yo, it's on Two Dope Boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool that it's on Two Dope Boys and okay that it's on Ill Roots. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was like the beginning of our.
Was B.O.B. the first concert you've been to?
No, first concert I went to was probably Kurt Franklin.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And it was crazy. It was like pyro and like him coming out the ground, like it was real like Bad Boy.
Type. Yeah.
Like at the height of Kurt Franklin.
So like Stomp.
Stomp.
No. Which was right. It was like I think it was a new
second album?
New Revelation tour, yeah, yeah. Which is when he was like Puff Daddy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So like that was probably my first concert. My first rap concert, this is gonna make me sound really young, was Kool Kids and Floss Your Domus.
Oh my God.
You are very young.
I'm young, but I was only 16, which is like rap concert. Yeah. That's like rap concert age. First yeah. real rap concert was Glow in the Dark Tour.
Wow.
Oh man.
And then what'd you think of the Glow in the Dark Tour?
Still probably today still the best show I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And so
it is the best show you've ever seen.
Yeah, period. Or heard too. Yeah. Like the music is like.
But beyond like your video skills, did you have this artistic bent? Were you just like Kanye sees in like color. And Pharrell yeah, sees like in sound,
synesthesia
right?
or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't think I have any like scientific. But I was always just like dabbling, so it was like I would do like music, like make beats, very whatever. I was like doing theater, like behind the scenes stuff, like building sets and doing lighting, mm-hmm. and playing football at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and what doing position? Video. I play like left tackle and like tight end and defensive tackle, but I was not very good.
Okay.
I was like I definitely was like towards the end skipping football practice to like go to like theater.
Smoke cigarettes.
Nah, yeah. But like go do like lighting in theater, which is like super not cool, but it worked out.
Yeah, I would say so.
Because like most of the kids, like, I'm not going to go there, but well, yeah.
Yeah.
What were some of those?
Working like, hair salons.
What were some of those?
Shout out to them.
What were some of those like plays that you were lighting?
Did we do Cinderella? I feel like, yeah, we did like Cinderella or something. I remember I was super hyped because I was like a freshman. I was like the lighting director. It was like in the paper. I was like, oh, this is tight. Wow. Way tighter than football. Like,
yeah.
Because I was not starting. And
yeah, you were
like,
the quarterback of lighting.
Yeah,
so yeah.
Exactly. I was like, yeah, quarterback of theater.
So when you and Mike link up, is this something where you knew you guys were going to be partners going forward?
No, I was just kind of like providing the video aspect of Ill Roots, which it didn't have that video aspect at first. So, and then we just became super close, and then it was like, all right, it was like, yo, it's this concert, you should come and film. I'm like, cool. And then it was like, oh, yo, this person's in town, you should come and film, like, interview. I was like, cool.
I remember there was a we've known Mike since he was in high school.
Yeah.
And
I was like, I got him into SOBs when he was like 17.
And
very legendary.
There was an ASAP Mob show at I'm trying to think what hotel it was.
Bowery.
Oh no, but yeah, Bowery Hotel. Mm. And Mike Wax was there, and this was early like ASAP Mob, and he asked me, he was filming on some camera, and he asked me to hold his iPhone, and he's just like, hold it steady and just like film it. And I was so nervous that I was gonna drop his phone and
you
crack
were
the
a
screen.
Film major.
I
mean, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but like I was really concerned that I would fuck it up, but I don't think I did.
Very rare. Like we used to do these like three camera shoots where it's like 70 T2i iPhone, like, yeah. And piece them together and you would never know.
Right. Yeah. I remember, did you guys shoot a music video on a rooftop early on?
Yeah.
Together? Do you remember who that was for?
A few rooftops.
Okay.
Big Sean, maybe.
Okay.
Lloyd Banks.
Okay. And were these specifically for Ill Roots?
The one for Sean was.
Yeah.
What was cool to me was like, all right, Mike gave me kind of this platform to like, with all these rappers, and like he's super creative and I like knew how to do video. I'm super creative too, so it was like, yo, we'll shoot your music video for free if you let us drop it on Ill Roots on our YouTube. So Sean was one of those people. Like Chip the Ripper was definitely the first one.
I remember that, yeah.
Like he's like very ahead of his time for rocking with us. And by shout out to Kev.
He changed his name, right?
King Chip, yeah.
King Chip, right, right,
but
right.
At the time, he was Chip the Ripper.
Yeah.
And we were
Cleveland?
All like, yeah.
Yeah.
He had the, what was the tape? The Cleveland Show?
Yeah, something.
That was like when me and Mike really started to like kick off things.
And how did you split up your duties? Like, how does co-directing work for you guys?
At first, it was like me directing, and Mike was like the, I don't think he was taking director's credit, but he was like putting all of it together and obviously still directing. But it was like, a lot of these videos were directed by me at first, because I was behind the camera, and it was like, but we were both still directing.
Right.
I don't know, I think I was more on the technical side and the concept side, and Mike was like the glue and like the concept side and like,
So you guys made it through how much of college?
I made it through a year and 2 months.
Yeah.
Then Mike made it through a year.
Mm-hmm.
I was like super over it, not learning anything.
Well, how did that conversation go with your parents though?
Man, it's a crazy, crazy discussion. I can tell you.
Yeah.
Like, so like I met Virgil and Don through Mike at RSVP Gallery.
RSVP, yeah.
Yeah, so Virgil, we were out here for like CMJ or something.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like when like Dark Fantasy was coming out. And Virgil was like, yo, we had to like drop Virgil's lens off or something. And so happened to be like right outside Ye's house.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, yo, like they had just signed Sci-Hi. He was like, yo, we have this like Fool's Gold Sci-Hi show. Like I think Kanye's gonna come out. You guys should come film it. So we're like, cool. And then he calls us sooner. Yeah, he was like, I need you guys to come film something for me. Like, I'm in the studio. So obviously we're like, oh, this is like Kanye. So
yeah.
Like our guy, Mark, who was at RSVP at the time, who kind of plugged us, he like called us like, yo, make sure you guys go get like suit jackets. Like, this is like Rosewood.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So we went to like Uniqlo and like...
You got a suit at Uniqlo?
No, I just got like the jacket at Uniqlo. I honestly wore this jacket for like a year straight.
Well,
like,
wait, anything fits you at Uniqlo?
Just gonna say.
I was not 6'8 yet. I was like 6'3 maybe. It barely fit me, like barely.
It's like for tiny Japanese people.
It worked, man. Man, I like how I used to live off of like those tees.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like we end up like filming Ye, and like that whole day, that was like the day Runaway came out too.
Oh my God.
So it was like a crazy day. And he was like super hyped in the studio, like playing Dark Fantasy for everybody. So
and again, you're
I'm 18.
18 years old.
Yeah. So I remember having to go back to school like the next day, like the 2 days after. And like, I'm just like completely distracted. Like, like no way, man. Like, I cannot be in here. So we were like editing this video of like that day. It never came out. And I remember they were like, yo, like they're kind of rocking with you. Like, they might want to take, like Virgil might want to like have you come work with him, Virgil. And I remember telling my parents, it's like, yo, like, and they were like, whatever happens, you're not about to just up and drop out of school. They're like, you need to have a plan or whatever. My parents are super big on education. Like,
sure.
My mom's a teacher, or was a teacher.
Oh, she dropped out too?
No, she dropped out of teaching.
Yeah.
No, never. She's still like, she still does. She's not a direct teacher right now, but she's still in the field. But yeah. So they were like, yo, you guys are not, they're like, you're not dropping out. Just up and dropping out, I should say. So lo and behold, that day came. I got a call like, yo, we need you to come to New York. So I call my parent, I call my mom first. And I'm like, yo, I have to go to New York. Like, I have to go to New York. Like, they're like, that's cool, but you're not dropping out of school. Like, you know, tell your teachers you're going to be gone for a couple of days. And like, so I came to New York.
What did you tell your teachers?
I told them exactly what was happening.
Whoa.
Like, yo. Like,
did they believe you?
I know. Honestly, like, I had, like, when I came back to school after that whole CMJ thing, like, I, like, was skipping a lot of class. And, like, I would, like, tell my teacher, like, yo, I have to edit this video for... It was crazy. I just thought about this. I was editing that stuff and editing the Big Sean 2 Fake video at the same time. So I was like really skipping class trying to finish the Sean video and trying to finish this Ye thing that never came out.
Are you still on PCs or are you on
No, Mac? I'm on a Mac.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Final Cut.
Yeah. Thank God.
Very, very life-changing. So I tried to do the school thing like for a couple weeks and like it just wasn't working. So I was out here living out here doing what people do when You get a call from Virgil.
Yeah, but your parents are still back.
That's the most unrelatable thing.
Nah, people know. I mean, I can't go into that detail, but you can kind of guess what that
No, of course, but I'm just saying, like, yeah.
But
like, they know now. Like, yeah. At the time, you didn't know. But, like, the internet, you can go on.
Sure.
Search Virgil and, like, see what that means. Yeah.
But he, like, you skip off to New York.
Yeah. So after a while, like, I'm like, it's not working. The whole, like, me trying to remotely send papers back, I was just wasn't doing it. So I told my mom, I was like, yo, and my dad, like, I was like, I have to, like, just do this. And they were down.
Creatively, what are you doing in New York?
Following people around with a camera. Yeah. we came out here for, like, a press run, and then, like, a press run got canceled. So it was like, okay, what do we do? So, like, me and Mike lived with Virgil for a while, like, out here. Me, Mike, Virgil, and Ivan all lived together in an apartment in East Village.
Who was the worst roommate?
It was honestly not that. It's a crazy situation now that I think about it, because it was a two-bedroom. Virgil had a room, and I had a room, which is crazy because Ivan should have had the room.
Yeah, not right, me. Yeah.
But seniority, Ivan, like, yeah. Ivan slept on a couch, and Mike slept on, like, a chair for a solid 6 months.
A chair. Thank God you didn't have to sleep in a chair.
Maybe that's what it was. I was tall. But, like, we all lived together, like, through, like, the making of Wash the Throne.
Wow.
So, who took, like, care of the groceries?
Nobody. Nobody ate, like, you know, actual food.
Crazy hours.
Yeah, crazy hours. Crazy experiences.
And so Watch the Throne, that was not only in New York, the Mercer, but that's also
Australia.
Australia.
Yeah.
Paris, right?
Yeah, I think we came on, like, there was a pocket where we weren't filming anything, like, outside of, like, we weren't filming anything in that space where, like, we moved to New York, and it was, like, a standstill of a few months. So I think that's when we got super, I think we focused more on the Uru stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got, like, a call to go to Australia. Very random. But we were still living with Virgil at the time. He's like, yo, you know. I think it was, like, a pocket of time where it was, like, yo, work with Sean. Like, work with Sean. I was like, all right, cool. And then it was, like, Australia, can you guys come? I didn't have a passport.
Oh, my God.
No, actually, I got a passport. I didn't have a passport the first time they called me to do something. It was go to Abu Dhabi. So I got a passport the day before. So I had a passport for Australia, but I just got it.
Jeff, when you fly to Los Angeles, right? And you're 6'3".
I'm 6'3". Three.
Yeah. How's that for you, your legs, all that?
It sucks.
Yeah. Mike, you are taller than Jeff.
Yeah.
How is it flying to Australia?
Not tight. I mean, it was tight because it was like you knew what it was, but flying, honestly, man, at this point in my life, I hate flying, which is crazy because I used to love it, but, like, I hate flying because it's just not comfortable.
Do you make sure that you get, like, an aisle seat?
Well, I like the economy comfort window seat, which sounds crazy. The reason I don't like the aisle is because if I go to sleep on every flight, and I hate being waking up, so I'll have my leg out, and then, like, you have, like, a...
Yeah, the cart comes by.
Slam your leg or, like, somebody tap you. So I'd rather just be in the window, unless it's just no leg room. But, like, my seat is the economy comfort window seat.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to fly me anywhere, it has to be that or first class. It's never first class.
You go to Australia.
Yeah.
You're filming Jay and Kanye and the whole recording process.
Yeah, wait. So how is Jay also down with you filming him? Or
I think they were just, like, cool with Kanye, like, It was like, yo, yeah, they were cool with it.
Did you know that this was going to be... Did you always think about it in the sense of, this is going to be a project that will come out? Or was it just like, this may be just for their files? Did that interfere with your vision whatsoever?
I'm trying to think. Did people know Watch the Throne was happening before it? They announced, like, when did they announce that?
I don't think so. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe
I think it just, like, because I remember...
No, they did, because Ham came out.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which was, like...
At South By.
Yeah. No. Was it South? No, it was before that. Ham came out very early, and I don't think people liked it.
Right.
So he went back in. I remember that being a whole thing.
Yeah.
But we weren't around for, like, the Ham stuff. That was, like, in London or something.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else was filming. So, like, yeah, people knew what it was, so we knew what it was.
Yeah.
And we were, like, 18, like... In Australia, like Jay-Z, Kanye, it was ridiculous. Looking back on it, it's so ridiculous. Like, I have to give so much props to, like, Virgil for being, like, people say people are visionaries, but he's, like, a true visionary, and he, like, sees things very early. So for him to be like, for him to like really risk his job and be like, yo, let me plop these 18-year-olds who weren't even that good at the time in this situation, it's like.
Yeah, do you ever think like, why us?
Yeah, but I mean, I think about that on a lot of things, but I guess it was just, you know, destiny.
And how close, like, were you afraid to like get up close to these guys to film?
I guess at that point, like, we have been a little more comfortable with Kanye, but that doesn't mean anything. Like, you're still super nervous. I remember, like, being in a room and you see, like, Jay-Z walking, and it's just like, I'm not about to look at this guy. And then, like, it's like Beyonce. And it's like, okay. They happen to be, like, the nicest people, though.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
And how long did you stay down there?
It was, like, a week or so. They were, like, recording in, like, this crazy mansion and, like, having dinners every night. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Were you also having crazy dinners?
No. not until the crazy I don't even know if I can tell this. I remember the last dinner, Kanye left town. It was just J and B, and they were like, yo, you guys have to eat with us. And I remember, it's like a story Mike will probably tell you too one day, of like Beyonce passing him the gravy and like asking us why we're here. Like, why? Like, how do you guys like get here? You guys are like 18. This is crazy. But like, yeah, that was like, I'll never forget that. And I have terrible memory. I probably don't remember too much about that trip other than that.
Well, do you remember how long it took you to put the entire project together?
It's still not out, like the documentary aspect of it. So even the one that's out is not the, like, we didn't edit that one. Crazy story.
Well, there was footage that
yeah, there was leaked. A one that leaked that had some of our footage in there, but like there was another guy involved that I don't know. It's so long. It happened so long ago. Like, I probably can be like, yeah, this guy sucks. He's probably going to hear it, but you suck, bro. Yeah, so it leaked. But like.
Well, how did it feel when that happened?
It felt terrible because we were still working on it. It was like two documentaries happened at the same time. Like, this one guy who was editing his own that somebody really liked. And then there was like me and Mike and Virgil being like, yo, man, you guys have to make this better. And it just, that one leaked while we were working on the other one. I remember somebody texted me like, yo, or tweeted me like, yo, saw your name on the Watch the Throne doc credits. I was like, what? I was like, they like dropped some footage.
Was it me?
It was not you. No. I don't remember who it was.
Was it up on illroots.com?
It was not on illroots. That's probably was the only non-leaked thing. Yeah. That was pretty crazy.
And
we're skipping a lot of crazy Watch the Throne stuff.
We can go back.
No. That's fine, because I probably like legally can't talk about any of this.
Right.
It's all good, though. Definitely put it in the podcast.
But so you come off this life-changing trip all the way to the other side of the world.
Right.
You're definitely not going to college again.
No, it was over at that point.
Well, and where do you go once you get back to the States?
East Village.
So you're still here and you're still doing work for that project.
Yeah, just like overall at that point it was like, all right, good music per se as opposed to like you work for Ye. So it was like Sean stuff, Pusha stuff. It was really just Sean and Pusha. Because those were like the two guys where it's like, all right, I can like really get, you know, down and dirty and work with you.
And you guys did the ass video.
Yeah, that was.
Is that much later?
No, I was 19.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a crazy story, too.
Well, so real quick, you had worked with Sean when you were back in Chicago.
Yeah, so it was all kind of happening at the same time. So it was like, all right, Sean video. But I remember being like in RSVP with Don C when he got like some Sean video sent to him, like get you some or something. And I remember he was like, yo, I'm going to get you guys like a Sean video, get you guys like $500. It never happened, but Mike ended up somehow finessing it. But like it was, I guess Sean was before Ye. But like right around the time we started getting super cool with Sean is when we got, when Virgil had us come out. So I remember we were supposed to shoot a Sean video and then we got the New York call and it was like, sorry bro, can't shoot your video.
And did you and Sean become friendly first or was it like
it was just
professional?
Yeah, he was more cool with Mike Wax actually. It's just funny. I remember he'd be like, yeah, like the video drop says like directed by Mike Carson. He'd be like, shout out to Mike Wax. That was like the thing for a while. And then like obviously, like we all got close.
Maybe you were Mike and Wax was Wax, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, that makes
me feel way better. Actually.
You get the call to do the ass video. And is that
Yeah, that was like a two-part thing. So like that song didn't have Nicki on it at first. I think that came out after it came out. Mm-hmm. So we were going to shoot that video, and at the time it was more like, yo, this song is called Dance. Like, we need to have like a dance. Like, I remember his manager at the time was like, we're gonna shoot this in Atlanta, we're gonna have like the fraternities, and like it's all about dance, because the label was scared of it, the other thing,
right?
Which is crazy. So we're like shooting, we're about to go shoot it in Atlanta for like, I think the budget was like 35 grand. Mm-hmm. Which sounds like a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money. But to us as 19, not knowing anything, a lot of money.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We're like, we're gonna produce the video ourselves, we're gonna shoot it ourselves. And which is like cool when you're shooting on like 5Ds and stuff, but not cool when you have like a whole record label handing you this money and being like, oh, what about catering? Oh, what about like mm-hmm. wardrobes? Like, what, you know, what about all this stuff?
Makeup.
So,
and, yeah.
So, yeah, we have this whole plan of this video, or we have to shoot in Atlanta. I remember like video commissioner at the time, it's like, yo, you guys are blowing it. Like, I'm going to just put a producer on this. So they like hired this producer. They like looked through the thing like, whoa, you guys are paying yourself way too much money to be doing this. Like, so they like figured out how to like fix our budget, and we shot the first half of the video, which this is before Nicki Minaj verse. Mm-hmm. I think he ended up getting the verse while we're at the video. So we're shooting it. It's like, cool. So we have to do a cut. So in this cut, it was just Sean on the white background, and it was just, it was like a shot of like these girls on projector, and it was like this party shot. That's all the video is at first. So remember, everybody's freaking out, like, yo, this video is trash. Like, this does not look like $35,000. Like, so it was like, yo, Nicki's down to do the video. So it's like, whoa. And at the same time, it's like, yo, you get a second chance to make this video tight.
Yeah.
So we crammed like 6 more setups in with like Sean to like figure it out, and then like our 2 Nicki setups. I vividly remember having to be on the phone with, like, Safari a lot. Like,
oh my god,
he was really cool.
Oh, well, that's
yeah,
good.
That's the first nice thing that anybody's ever said about
him. Yo, shouts to Safari. He was like, he was a cool dude.
So she was down in Atlanta too.
No, we shot Sean's part in Atlanta. Came back to New York, chopped it up. Wasn't good. And then they were like, all right, Nicki's down to shoot. We can shoot in New York, which is cool. So we had like a studio. We had a few more setups, and then. Yeah, so we spent most of the day shooting Sean. I think we're supposed to have like 4 or so hours with Nicki. You know how that goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't happen. It was probably like 10 minutes or something.
Right.
And then like, I remember one of the setups was like this glass, this like, the producer hired this art director. It was like this setup with like all glass mirrors. And like, I remember the glass just kept falling.
Oh,
they're like,
God.
Yo, Nicki's about to come out. The glass has to stop falling. So like, it stopped falling. And yeah. So we shot that one scene of Nicki, and she's like a bodysuit, and then like the super iconic shot of Sean and Nicki on like the backdrop, which was like crazy. Cause at the time it was no videos of like Nicki and a dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel like that video was like the setup of like the Nicki Minaj and dude performance shot, whether it's like 2 Chainz or it's like Drake, or like, it was like, oh man, it's like Nicki Minaj and this guy, she's like twerking on him. It's like crazy.
Did you have any hesitation giving direction at that point?
At this, honestly, we didn't give much direction to Nicki Minaj. It was like, yo, she's on set, she's like, she's here. Cool, can you stand right here? All right, cool. You good? All right, let's go. I wasn't like, yo, twerk on Sean. It was
right,
like,
right, right.
Yeah, what's your motivation?
Yeah, I'm like 19, and like, I remember like somebody who used to work with her told me like later on, she's like, man, like, Nicki was so mad. Like, we were directing the video. She's like, these kids are my brother's age. Like, they don't know anything. Like, it worked out, though.
And
man, it worked. That was a long process getting that video to what it was.
Well, so, how long did it take you to edit?
It didn't take me that long to edit the actual video.
Is
but
that because
like,
Mike Wax did it?
No. I was the editing guy, yeah. But, like, you know. Yeah, the edit didn't take that long to get it to, like, a version that majority of people like, but she hated it.
She hated it.
For a long time.
Did Sean like it?
Sean loved it.
And the label liked it?
They liked it.
Oh,
it was
great.
Like Nicki twerking on Sean. Like,
right, right. Yeah.
How are you not going to like this? So like, it took a lot of calls with Safari to like get it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I was like, I had like a girlfriend in college at the time that was still at that college. So I like remember being at her like dorm, like talking to Safari. Just crazy. That was probably the first like, oh wow, like the world is like, who are these kids?
Well, yeah. And did you think at that time that you could make yourselves into a legitimate like music video directing team for anybody.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, you're on like cloud nine at that point, and we're still not 20. Right. I wasn't 20 yet. I think Mike was 20.
Did you have a fake ID?
No, I don't drink, so I never really like. Well, never had the like whole like, oh, let me get a fake ID face. But except when it was like, all right, let me try to get in this show, I can't get in.
Right.
But we used to finesse that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through Jeff.
Yeah.
So when you at this point, who are you shopping yourself around to?
We never really shopped ourselves. It was just like, it was cool because Ill Roots was like a thing, and it was at that point bubbling because we were doing all these other small videos. And people were like, oh, okay. And then, like, Sean was starting to pop. So people were just, like, kind of seeing stuff. But we never, I don't think we ever really shot, like, a huge video after that that wasn't Sean.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about it, we were still, like, shooting these, like, very New York, Brooklyn, you know, such as in New York for a show. We have an hour to shoot a video type of things, which was cool because it, like, taught us how to, like, be self-sufficient and, like.
And there was no glass falling.
Yeah, and there was no glass falling. Yeah.
Just rooftop shops with
Yeah.
How did you get in touch with Lloyd Banks?
I'm trying to I think we were doing a bunch of stuff with Pusha, and it was a Pusha Lloyd Banks song. So we had just shot something with Pusha, and they were like, yo, just have them shoot the video. We probably charged them like $2,000 or something, which is crazy. I remember Mike Waxman super hyped to shoot Lloyd Banks. He's like a huge G-Unit fan. Meant nothing to me.
Right.
It was just like, okay, cool. Like, it was funny experience. I remember somebody stole one of my Jordans, like, on that set. Just
what?
One.
One?
What?
Yes, one.
How did you get home?
I had, like, two pairs of, like, I was wearing, like, another pair of shoes while I was shooting, and I, like, had, like, some Jordan 6s, like, somewhere, and somebody stole one shoe. I'll never forget this.
That's so crazy. That's...
Yo, if you're out there,
yo,
and you have Mike Carson's one shoe,
reveal yourself.
Yeah.
Leave a comment.
Please, man.
So, talk to us about what the South by Southwest experience was like for you guys and how it developed over time.
First time we ever went there was with like 15 other people from Chicago. Like, dude, Joe Fresh Goods, I know you're listening. Terrell, all you guys. So we all like just bummed it up and went to South by super last minute and all stayed in like one hotel room.
Oh my God.
But it was cool because it was like our first South by experience. And we were like,
did you go to bed?
On the floor, yeah. So yeah, that was like the first one. And then I'm trying to think, when did we first start doing it? I think Mike would like get people to put like, he would start like sponsoring showcases in the sense of like, just like on like a media coverage side. And then somehow that turned into like us doing the Illmore, which was like Ill Roots and Scoremore. Scoremore is like the big Texas promotions company. Like they bring all the artists through Texas. So Mike and Sasha knew each other, and yeah, the Illmore happened. It was a house at first, like an actual house that we all were staying in. And I remember like Sean was there, Wiz Khalifa was there.
Was Wonka the first year?
No, first year was very like very organic, like Bun B, like Big Sean, Wiz Khalifa, Currency type of vibe.
Yep.
I think the next year is when it was in like the fake house, the spot that looked like a house. That was when it was like, okay, we have like a sponsor, and like people saw like the video from last year and they were like, okay, we might pull up. And I think the next year was when it was like the crazy like floor cracking Kendrick Lamar.
Like legitimate crack the floor.
Yeah, legitimate crack the floor year. And then after that it just got too crazy.
How long were the lines outside of the place, and also what was your relationship like with the cops?
Lines were pretty lit.
That's obviously an understatement.
Yeah. I mean, I think as it became more of a thing, this like urban legend of like, oh, the Illmore, like it got crazier. But yeah, I think they had some type of special deal with the cops, like nothing illegal. Like they were hiring cops, but like it worked out. Yeah.
And your relationship at Sean at that point has developed into what?
Sean wasn't my like daily priority yet. We're like close. We like shot a lot of videos by then.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yo, pull up to the Illmore, and it was like cool. Because at the time it was just a house, and it was like cool. People were just kicking it, and like all the rappers are there. And then it was like, yo, come perform here, and it was like cool. It was popping. So.
Mm-hmm. At what point do you get involved in Sean's day to day?
Is that like Detroit?
Yeah, that was like when it was super like okay, like this is our guy. Because he, I remember, like, the video Nikki came out, I remember being in the car with my mom, and Sean called me, like, yo, I want you to do all my videos, like, you and Mike. So I think after that, we did all his videos.
Maybe you were just like, no, I can't. I'm already doing all this stuff with Lloyd Banks.
Exactly, yeah. So, like, we would, like, do a bunch of video stuff, and then it, like, started turning into, like, okay, merch or something. And then it was like, all right, here's the full-blown keys.
So what did you know at that point about the title creative director?
It wasn't until 2013 where I was, like, on paper as Sean's creative director. But, like, I think we were creative directing Sean.
And what do you think about, like, the title today? Because just, like, that is, like...
Yeah, it's watered down, but, I mean, there are people who actually do it. I think I'm a creative director. I mean, I know I'm a creative director. On paper, I am Big Sean's creative director, right. Contractually.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, there's some really great creative directors. So I came up under, like, Virgil, so it's like you see a true creative director. Whether people want to... Whatever you want to say about him, he's the most creative director out of any of these guys.
And from a creativity standpoint, actually, you know what? From a production standpoint, did you learn a lot from Virgil?
Yeah, man. It's crazy because it probably jaded me, like, seeing, like, the Virgil, Kanye, like, how they operated. Because it's like, oh, I'm going to do this with Sean. And it's like, no, you're not. Like, you're not Kanye West. Like, Sean's not Kanye at the time. Like, he's not now, but, like, we were, like, trying to get past
things. He wasn't Big Sean.
Yeah, he wasn't Big Sean yet. So it was like, oh, we're going to turn this in the day before. Like, no, it doesn't work like that. Like, I'm like, yo, I just saw Virgil and Kanye do this. I know it works like this. Which is crazy because it kind of, like, we now have the leverage now to do stuff like that. But, like, yeah, I mean, learning from Virgil was, like, you know, it was like the blueprint.
Did you know anything about, like, merchandise going into this?
First time I ever did merch was with Ill Roots.
Right,
we were doing
America.
Ill America. Yeah. So that was, like, my first taste of, like, designing. So by the time it was like, all right, do some Sean merch, I kind of knew, but it was bad. Like, really what I think grew me to be a creative director was Ill Roots. Because it was like, you have to know how to do this merch. Okay, you need to know how to, like, design this event, or, like, you need to know how to direct this video, or, like, help this artist with this. So it's like you have all these talents of things you just kind of picked up and learned, and it's like, okay, you have an artist now who needs all these things too. And it's like, yeah.
And so with Sean, when do you start doing his lighting and stage design?
Yeah, it was more like he was going on tour, I think it was 2012, and he was like, yo, I'm, like, having a screen. So I was like, all right, we'll figure it out. I never did anything like this before outside of, like, high school theater.
So and Sean was just like Cinderella.
Exactly. Yeah, so it wasn't even, like, lighting at first. It was just, like visuals, as people say. So I was, like, chopping up, like, stock footage, and, like, I had all the files, his music video. So I had, like, a full Nicki take we can put on the screen.
Oh, man.
Just very, like, unauthorized. So it was like, all right, that song will come on, and it's like you can see the full Nicki close-up take, which was tight to me.
That's
and,
awesome.
Like, Marvin and Charnette had, like, the files, so it was like full Kanye take.
Ah.
So that was, like, the vibe up front. So I was like, yo, this is tight. So after a while, like, I would be, like, writing, like, the lighting notes and stuff for whoever his LD was at the time, and, like, he wasn't doing it. And then at that time, I think a year later is when I became Sean's creative director on paper. So it was like, all right, cool, we need to figure the show out. So I was just learning as I was going.
Do you feel like you guys brought the VHS look back?
Ill Roots, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, I will say this right now, and I don't say a lot like that, but, like, yeah, for sure. Like, first off, me and Mike did, like, a Chip the Ripper video when he was still Chip the Ripper, and our guy Ken Kohler, like, shot it, and we were like, yo, you should edit the video and then shoot it with a VHS camera, like, the finished product. So if you go back and look, that was, like, the first of the Ill Roots VHS, and then Mike found Gabe of Uzi,
yeah,
which was like, okay, super iconic VHS, everybody's on VHS, and then it was like, Now it's VH, you know. Then it was just a full VHS explosion.
Because today,
which I thought died, but it's back.
Yeah,
it's like super in vogue now. Like
yeah, it's
like
crazy.
Through apps and
yeah,
and all
that's
that.
Tight to me. But like yeah, it's crazy.
But
like,
people should know where you know it was born from.
It wasn't even born, but it's just like I feel like in our
born in like the '80s,
right. And yeah. Like Jesus, it came back. Yeah. You know, yeah. Like the real roots.
I feel like yeah, in like hip hop, blog, whatever culture, it was for sure. It was 100%.
Did you get involved with the billboards for Hall of Fame?
Yes.
So talk about what that was like. Hollywood Boulevard, right?
It was like
Sunset.
Yeah.
Wait, is that the one that it was a giant billboard and it said Swerve?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was me and Mike Wax.
Amazing.
Which is
amazing
yeah. But also like probably dangerous.
Oh, for people to see it and then. Yeah.
And like probably a complete waste of the label because it doesn't say Big Sean Hall of Fame really big. Hall of Fame was like the first like...
But you did that on purpose, though.
Yeah,
you were
yeah,
like,
for sure.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame was like the first real taste of like, okay, this is the ins and outs of the music industry. You like saw it from afar, but like this is like the real, like, this is how this works. So like at the time, Sean, like, I wasn't Sean's creative director yet, but we had just did Detroit, and it was like, we were off the hype of that, and Sean was like, yo, these are my guys. And then like, there was another creative director that got hired to do the project. Shouts to him. You can just look it up. So we're like under him, whatever. And then after that, that's when Sean was like, yo, like, this is you.
Yeah. And that's also like the strength of you guys. You guys went out to LA with him.
Yeah. Like, well, I think I was super over New York and like we were living in Brooklyn at the time, like East Bushwick or something. Was
very
not,
hip.
I don't even think it was, it's probably super hip now, but I think we came on like the cusp of like,
dangerous.
Okay, yeah. Not even dangerous. It just wasn't tight. It wasn't like inspiring to me.
Right.
No diss to Brooklyn. I know how you guys are, but like, I wasn't inspired. Like, I was in like this, we were in this tiny apartment, like, and like, I don't know. I just wanted it to, I wasn't feeling it. I'm not like a scene kid where I like go out and like do New York stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what the New York thing to do was at the time, 2010.
Ride the train until it stops.
No, it was like the hip, like, rap thing to do. I don't know, like, because there wasn't like a...
What, go to like Santos?
Yes, Santos.
So you were over that.
I wasn't into that. Yeah. So it was like, all right, man, like, and I think we all were just kind of like, we need to change the scenery. So I had enough money to move to LA. So like, I moved there and Mike had a roommate, but I this other kid I was gonna move with kind of backed out on me. So I needed to like, I had nobody to live with. So I was like, I need to figure this out. So like my roommate, like this guy, Zeno Jones, who now manages Sean.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was just like, man, like, I know you've been living with Sean, but like, I'm about to move to LA. Like, we should just like room. He's like, ah. So like, I went and saw the crib. I'm like, man, please. Like, he didn't even see the crib before he moved in. I think he just trusted me. Mm-hmm. And so like, I'm still my roommate to this day.
Crazy. Crazy. And what part of, like, did you know anything about Hollywood?
No, I was living in North Hollywood. Mm-hmm. But, like, I remember when I was in, like, New York, I was like, yo, I'm not moving to the Valley. Because I was, like, the cool thing to say, like, yo, you're not living in the Valley. Like, you get to L.A., you're like, all you can afford to do is live in the Valley.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I remember Travis was living in North Hollywood at the time. So I would, like, sleep on his couch and, like, while we were trying to, like, figure out.
Not a big couch?
Yes. Oh, we were like trying to figure out like you know, where we're gonna live and all this good stuff. Shouts to Travis.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because when I lived in Brooklyn, he would sleep on my couch.
Oh,
so
man.
So it was like a.
That's wild.
Yeah. Shouts to Travis, Chase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All these guys. It's like we all kind of like catapulted at the same time. Like,
yeah.
Like we all like came up differently, or but like I think 2010, 11 is when we all were like. Okay.
Let's yeah. all wear camouflage, bape.
And yeah, which is like, I was looking through my Vine the other day, like when they were like deleting it, and it was like this Vine of Travis seeing himself on TV at the first time in my North Hollywood apartment. I was like, well, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to think about.
So, North Hollywood, you have a car out there?
No.
How are you getting around?
Uber. Uber had just popped off.
Yeah.
And it was like a lifesaver.
Yeah. What are your days and nights like in LA?
I think that was like right around the time Detroit was coming out, so it was a lot of Sean and it was a lot of like Ill Roots like video merch type stuff and like Travis Scott like going to the studio with Travis till like 6 a.m.
So these are studios like legit studios, not home studios.
A bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Travis had just got signed at that point, so he had, like, you know, you get your your first record budget. You know, you're in the big studio.
Right.
You're not at the crib. And then after a while, you're like, I want to be at the crib.
Right. And so Sean hires you as his creative director.
2013.
In 2013.
Yeah.
And do you think, all right, well, I got the keys now. I'm going to do this, this, and this? Or are you just like, let me see where this goes?
We kind of already were, in a sense. At that point, it was just like, it was like me and Mike doing the Sean stuff before I was like his creative director.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael like was like gonna focus solely on Ill Roots, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna do Sean and Ill Roots. So like I was like, it was still me and Mike, but this was like my time to like, all right, you gotta step up.
Right.
Do it yourself.
Right.
So
this is a time when like, you know, Drake is around. This is a time when like a lot of people are still talking. But are you ever starstruck after seeing Jay-Z, Beyonce, Kanye? Like, nobody
not
tops that for you.
No.
What was it like meeting Drake?
First time I met Drake was in Houston at the first time he did his Houston Appreciation. Because Virgil had plugged me. Because Virgil was helping him with their show at the time. So I was doing, like, content. And then I had to, like, go show Drake a bunch of the stuff in Houston. I have to find out what year this was. 2014, maybe? Yeah. So, like, I had to show him the content, and he was like, yo, this is, like, the best content I've ever had. It was for his wireless show.
Mm-hmm.
That never happened. So, like, all throughout, like, my, like, come up and, like, careers, all these things that, like, you work on for super long, that never happened, which is, it's cool, though, because it, like, you don't get comfortable and, like, I don't know. I don't think you take it for granted when there's a chance this might not happen,
right.
Which is cool because it's like if you get thrown right into it and it's like this is all happening for me all the time, every time, you're going to get like comfortable and like, I don't know, it's not as special.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So like worked on this Drake stuff for super long and then he like got sick or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the show never happened. And then like Drake Wayne tour came about and they wanted to like repurpose the content. So that was like the first time I probably had something with Drake out there.
And so they did repurpose the content.
Yeah.
And you went to the show and you saw it?
Yeah, at the Hollywood Bowl. First rap show ever at the Hollywood Bowl.
And it had a look.
It looked tight.
Yeah.
It was tight. It was like, it was a crazy moment because it was like the first rap show that they've ever had there. And it was like my first time seeing my stuff that big, I think.
And so, Travis put you on his Vine?
I don't know. Probably, yeah, maybe.
What kind of cameras were you shooting on at this point?
I feel like this is when I started realizing I didn't want to do music videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to do like shows. So, and like, I was super...
Well, why is that? Like, were you just tired of...
Yeah, I think the process, it's like cool, but like it's also extremely draining, as everything is, but like, I don't know. Sometimes the like return is just not there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like you spend all this time on what you think is super tight, and then like it hits YouTube, and it's like, what is this? And it's like, okay. Or like you spend all this time on this video, and you think it's about to be the artist single or whatever, and it's not. And it's like, yeah, I'm over this. And it was like shows. I like saw it was like a wide open like range of like, okay, there's like people like Sean. Who aren't Kanye in a sense of where they don't have $1 billion to do like these crazy shows. So I'm like, I want to hit this pocket of people who are fresh and like deserve to have like dope stuff. So like Sean was like my muse in a sense of like, okay, I can try everything with him and like see what works and what doesn't work. And I think the first person I ever did content for outside of Sean was Rocky through Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
That was like 2 days before they were going on tour, and like Virgil was like, yo, come to like the studio, like I want you to do some stuff for Rocky. And it was just like right when what was the first album?
Live Love It.
So it was like very VHS, like,
yeah,
static, like riot footage type stuff.
Yeah, is this like the one where they like basically reenacted Vietnam?
No, not that one. I think this is when he went on tour with Rihanna,
right? I saw that
so
one too. Yeah,
he had like two screens and like. It was just like, it was super like found footage, YouTube stuff, like mixed with static and like some text because we had like 2 days to do it. Rocky was cool. I remember I had to like go to his house and like, I was like, yeah, I need to get some content. So I like shot it. It's like grills, like him rapping, like, you know,
yeah,
iconic ASAP Rocky shot.
Yeah.
That's probably been shot a million times. But yeah, that was tight. I'm still cool with Rocky now. He's like,
do you feel at this point you know Sean maybe better than Sean knows himself? Like, where you can, you're steps ahead and you're just like this.
In 2017?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he knows himself, but like, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, so I've like dedicated like the last 4 or 5 years of my life to like the Big Sean project.
Right. Do you have an album that really, I mean, you might say it's I Decided, but is there an album that really speaks to you more than another?
This one does for sure, but I think Dark Sky was my first time being like, okay, you know how to do this now, so like this is how you do it. So it was like, then we had like an initial meeting, like me and Sean played the album for Virgil and like told him what we wanted to do, and he was like, okay, cool, this is what I think too, and he was like, do it. So yeah, we did it. And I remember he had a rule. He was like, yo, Sean's album, next album cover, like, no Photoshop. And we shot the cover in Paris with Fabian with no Photoshop. Like, everything on that cover is in camera. Like, down to the water, like, everything is, like, no Photoshop.
There was Photoshop for I Decided, though.
Yes, but
Sean cannot be in two separate places at once.
Yeah. No, that's an old man next to him.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. You look hard.
Okay.
Yeah, I gotta get you to high res. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, Dark Sky was like the first time it was like, all right, it's all on you. You know. And I was like, okay, I'm not gonna try to direct all the videos now either. It's like, let me get like who I think is like the tightest directors. With the exception of all but one video I was like really a part of. You can guess the one I'm not a part of. Just guess and like, or look at all the videos and say, okay, which one doesn't?
Right. Right.
I was a part of it, but I like a strong arm. But yeah, so Dark Sky was like the first time it was like, this is your project, and it was like in the credits, like creative direction, Big Sean.
What concerts inspire you?
Now or just throughout life?
Throughout life.
Glow in the Dark tour for sure was like the. I didn't even know at the time I wanted to do stuff like that, but I remember it changing my perspective on Kanye, because like growing up I was a huge Kanye fan, like
Chicago,
and just like how I grew up, my parents weren't super heavy on the rap stuff, so Kanye was like the, like he's at like the Grammys with the choir and stuff, so it was like, okay, you can kind of listen to this guy. So like super into Kanye. I remember Graduation was coming out, and I was super in this backpack phase everybody goes through. Like, the first single was like, Can't Tell Me Nothing. I'm like, what is this? So I was like over Graduation when it came out, and I remember I went to the show, and I was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like, it made me like the album, which today I think is probably number two for me for Kanye.
What's number one?
Late Registration.
Oh, you and Jeff. I think Late Registration is a little lower, but
you cannot beat that out. I was listening to it the other day. Like, this is the craziest album. Like, what are people like? The bar is so high, like, to me with that. But yeah,
I thought Graduation was the perfect.
I love Graduation.
Every Kanye album is the best album. Like, I just
I think Late Registration. I'm gonna do a quick order.
Yeah,
Of like the top five.
Yeah.
Late Registration.
No, you gotta do top eight.
No. I'm not falling to that trap. Late Registration, Graduation. Mm-hmm. For me, 808s is high up there.
You're such an emotional guy.
Yeah, man. I was listening to that the other day. Like, yeah. Not gonna get that deep. But College Dropout.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Fantasy, is that five?
That's five.
Yeah,
that's five.
I'll leave it at that.
I feel like you didn't say Yeezus.
You didn't say Watch
the
Throne.
I like Yeezus. I like Watch the Throne. But for me, like...
By the way, Watch the Throne is the best Throne album ever.
Yeah.
It is.
Top Throne.
It's the best one.
Wait, what was it like going around for the Yeezus, like, promotion? You were part of that too, right?
No, just Dark Fantasy.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, which didn't happen because he decided he didn't want to do press anymore. The day we got hired.
Oh, good.
So you can imagine how, like... Yeah.
So then what did you end up doing?
I'm trying to think of what we were doing for those few months. It wasn't
anything.
It was like maybe like Sean stuff or like Ill Roots stuff.
When it comes to Sean, do you have like a mood board? Do you think in colors? Does Sean think in colors or
I don't
moods or
I don't necessarily think in color, but like Maybe. I don't know what that, like, maybe. But, like, yeah, for, like, Dark Sky and I Decided, absolutely. Like I can, I have, like, PDFs on my, like, computer of just, like, this was the vibe, and we, like, stayed true to it. This one, too, for sure. Like, I went into it when, like, Sean was in Europe. I was only in Europe for a little bit, and remember he came back, like, yo, what are we doing? Like, so, like, I had the whole concept of, like, bringing color back to his thing, which, because, like, when he was early on in his career, everything was super colorful.
Yeah.
It was too colorful. And then it was, like, okay, Dark Sky was, like, our super monochromatic, mm-hmm. desaturated phase. And then I think I Decided is, like, okay, we're still in this dark phase, but it's, like, using light and color as, like, a metaphor throughout. Check out the album.
Yeah.
It'll make a little sense.
What was SNL like?
Wow. It was a lot. Probably my least favorite TV I've done
experience?
In a while.
Experience? Really?
Not even, like, experience, just, like, yeah, experience.
They,
experience, yeah.
Is it because they, like,
the parameters of the room?
It's the parameters, period.
Yeah.
It's cool, though. It was, like, amazing to have that look in the rollout. Like,
because,
well, are you able to talk about, like, what the original vision was or no?
Yeah, I just wanted to, like, you know, you see SNL, you're like, yeah, I want to go. You see what everybody's done on there, you're like, I'm going to go crazy. Oh, you got SNL? Cool. And it was like, no.
Were you there for the 40th anniversary?
No, I wasn't.
When Kanye had the scrim?
That was dope.
Yeah.
That's probably his best SNL to me.
And so for you guys, are you there the whole week?
No, we're there from, well, I have been here all week doing something else, but mm-hmm. Yeah. We were there from Thursday or Wednesday on.
Mm-hmm.
So you do, like, yeah, I don't know if I can talk about it. Yeah, okay. You do one rehearsal, and then you go home, and then you do another dress rehearsal, and then you do, like, yeah, it's like a three-day thing.
Well, what's your favorite TV to do? You just did Ellen.
Yeah, Fallon for sure.
Fallon.
Yeah, we did Fallon last night. They're just cool in there, and they let us do whatever.
Same building.
Yeah, it's like, what,
different experience.
Two floors down.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's cool because, like, I've been in there enough to know, like, okay, avoid this and, like, don't say this to this guy and, like, do this.
Yeah.
Which is cool because, like, when I work with other artists outside of Sean, mm-hmm. like, that might get to Ellen before him or so, or, like, I can already know going in now with Sean, like, don't do this. Which is cool because it's, like, Sean doesn't have to be the guinea pig all the time.
Our friend Raven would be very upset if we didn't mention her on this podcast.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But you did go to the Beyonce concert with her.
Yeah.
What was it like being next to a screaming lunatic for 3 hours?
Crazy. Shout out to Beyonce. She's
yeah, like what did you think of Beyonce's live show?
She's the best. Beyonce is, like, the best, period. Like, not even to be, like, the Beyonce stand, dude, because I'm not, but, like, as far as, like, rollout and, like, visual, like, at this point in her career, like, everything is so, like,
yeah
she's inspiring. She's, like, the one person that's left on my list
to work with.
Yeah.
Well, she already collaborated with Mike Wax.
That's
gave
right.
Him
Pass
gravy.
The gravy. Yeah.
Wow. I was like, whoa, I missed the, like, collaboration. I was out there. Like,
yeah. What is it like to have to keep secrets all the time?
It's easy now. After being, like, 18 and, like, not being able to tell anybody anything, you can do anything. Because now it's, like, affects my life more so, because it's, like, all right, stuff I'm directly working on and coming up with, and, like, I would be mad if somebody, like, like, I was at the listening parties, literally slapping phones. It's like, yo, like, yo, you get invited to a listening party, and you want to be on Instagram Live. Like,
right.
It's nothing more disrespectful than that to me.
Oh, wait, the one just now?
Yeah, all of them. We did, yeah. This is a crazy week. We did, like, 3 listening parties. We have, like, 4 pop-ups, and we did 2 TV shows.
Oh, my God. That's constantly on the plan.
Yeah, I saw you were at LaGuardia, like, 3 times this week.
Yeah, I think we've done New York to L.A. 3 times this week.
You got that quick pass, though, right?
Oh, yeah, TSA pre-check.
Yeah,
shout
pre-check.
Out to that. Probably, like, sold my soul for that, but.
You were involved with the Drake tour, right?
Yeah, so summer 16. That's probably the most, like, extensive thing I've ever been a part of.
And so.
On a show side.
It's super iconic.
Yeah.
In terms of those globes.
Yeah.
rising and lowering and moving and
which I can't take credit for. That was all them. We just kind of like initially Future hit me up to like direct the content, and then like when we got there, it was like, all right, let's all work together to make the show make sense. So it was like a true collaborative. Drake's super hands on. Like I know people say that in interviews, but like super hand, like he knows what he wants in the sense of like, okay, you're like at a level of like, I'm here, so it's like, I'm not trying to like things I can kind of get away with other people. He's like, no, it's like, he's competing with like the guy, so it's like.
Well, I mean, but then what does Sean think when you're working with Drake?
I think it's just like, at the time he was in Europe, so it was nothing for me to do in Europe. Mm-hmm. 'Cause he was like on tour, Rihanna, like in the daytime. Mm-hmm. So it was like, all right, we sent something out and like, gonna come back home, let's not waste money. So I was just here, so it was like, all right, this is a time where I can go and spend a whole month of my life on something else. Mm-hmm. But like I would like, I'm not in Europe right now with Drake.
Right. You know, so you spend a month on that. Are you in rehearsals and like, is it like a warehouse or how do
I really spent more than a month because it was like making content and then like getting down there and then none of the content working out and then like a week before redoing everything.
Oh my God.
So it was like arena in Texas, Drake.
Yeah.
And then like, it's arena and then like staying on tour for 2 weeks and just changing the show every day.
Now at this point with Sean, are there a lot of hurdles to get over or is it you have a direct line and it's just like you guys want something done, you make it happen?
It's probably been more freedom with this one than the other ones, but he still has to go through a lot, like a lot. But I think the team this time really just, we stuck to our guns and like we're all on one page and like, you know, fighting for the same thing.
What did you guys think when you saw the J. Cole documentary on HBO?
It was tight because we were on that tour. I liked the little other episodes more probably because that was more so just like the show, which we saw every night.
Right.
But it was cool to like see their perspective of like what was going on.
And also, you know, this is a major rap artist putting out just a ton of content through Vimeo and then HBO.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so different from what everyone else is doing. Does it inspire you and push you into like, well, what else can we do?
Yeah, shouts to those guys. They're like super, like they inspire me in the sense of like, okay, we're gonna do it our way. That's like the most inspiring thing about like the way like Eve and Adam and all those guys move.
Also, it's a project that actually came out. Like, it's not just like, you know, sitting in someone's like shop.
Because they like took a real risk of like, we're gonna like, J. Cole's a very radio artist. When you think about it, we're not gonna do any radio or any singles or any of this stuff with Force Hills Drive. We're gonna drop it. That was a risk for sure. Like at the time, maybe not this one so much because he's like a way bigger artist now. But like, that's tight. Like taking a risk is like scary, but it's like when it works, it's like
You mean like dropping out of college and going to New
York? Yeah, I mean it was a little. It wasn't that much of a risk because it was like what was going on here. But yeah, it could have went left.
How did you start working with Bryson?
I started working with Bryson. His manager Neil, who I knew from Puff, called me while I was on tour with J. Cole and Sean, and he was like, "Yo, I have this like new artist," which is like usual, like most dreaded sentence. He's like, "Yo, I have this new artist. Like, I want you to work on a show." I was like, I didn't even hear the music at the time. Well, I didn't think I heard the music. So I was like, all right, for sure. I was like, bro, I'm on tour. I can't really do anything right now. But, like, when I get off, you know, let's talk about it. Usually that's, like, a cool, like.
Yeah, brush off.
Way to get out of it. Yeah.
But this time he hit me up after tour and was like, yo.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's coming up. This is a kid, Bryson Tiller. I was like, I didn't know who Bryson Tiller was. And he was like, he has a song, Don't. But what was crazy was Don't was in the house music playlist every night on tour with J. Cole.
Wow.
So I had been hearing the song. I was like, okay, I'm down to like figure it out. And then I met up with them, like this crazy mansion. I think they were like recording in, and he was like, yes, it's Bryson. He was super shy and like.
His dad hat was pulled way low.
I guess, but yeah. But they were like, yeah, we're gonna like rehearse, which is like, for I feel like a lot of new artists, they don't really rehearse. When I say they rehearse, they like really put a lot of time and effort into everything they do, especially the live show. So he rehearsed a lot. So his first show was with Travis, opening up for Travis. He was like, yo, like, there's going to be, like, a screen there. Like, we need, like, some content and whatever, which is now I probably will not do again in the sense of, like, okay, brand new artists, not a ton of whatever, but it's like, all right, I, like, believed in it. And, like, Neil, I trust Neil. So, yeah, did that first show, opening up for Travis, and it worked out because it could have went really left when you think about it. Like, Travis Scott fans, R&B.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were receptive of it.
I mean, it's two completely different moods.
Yes. Yes and no. Because it's still, like...
vibey.
Yeah, because Travis has a very vibe. Like, he has his pocket of, like, very vibey stuff. So, yeah, it just kind of worked out. And then, remember, he was doing these three shows. One here... Oh, two shows. One at SOB's and one at the Roxy. And I couldn't make the SOB show, but we, like, put a design together. And I wasn't there, and apparently, like, the vendor, whoever was providing the lighting, completely blew it. So I remember getting, like, these crazy calls. Like, yo, man, this is, like, Bryson's first show. Like, like, nothing's working. Like, no lighting. But, like, some guys who I worked with, like, figured it out. And then, like, we did the LA show, which was super proper because, like, we were there, and then, yeah, Bryson blew up, and...
all because of the set design?
No, had nothing to do with the set design.
Well,
yeah,
we all agree,
like...
it was the set design.
What's the most important thing about lighting that you think young artists or people just starting out don't take advantage of? It's a really simple fix.
Wow. Are we going to give the juice? no, you just have to realize lighting is... You can directly affect anybody's mood with anything visually. So it's like, all right, you need to intensify a moment. You need to do something intense on stage, or you need to bring it down. You need to do something brought down on stage. Or you can do the opposite and be like a artistic cool guy, and like it might work. But yeah, just like I'm about to hit a whole new wave of lighting. 2017. I don't think people were
all black. Everything.
No, because everything's so like silhouetted and like Bryson Tiller.
You're like
Big Sean out. So it's like
you're like when Timbaland like thought that everyone was just like taking and stealing his.
Not even me. Like it's just like the vibe of everything right now is very like moody and like in the shadows. Like yeah, I've worked with some artists who I feel like we're at the forefront of that, but I don't think it's me. But yeah, just like I decided, we're bright.
Yeah,
we're very like when we go on tour, it's like you're like, oh, okay, I'm not putting Sean in silhouette on tour.
Are you going to?
I hope I don't regret saying this on here because I probably will. But
listen, the only people who are listening are the kids at Kanye Tidda.
Shout out to Kanye Tidda for not leaking Sean's album when you guys had a lot of the songs early. Yeah. I don't understand that, man. Like, how they get everything first.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not one of them.
I know, but I hope they leave a comment and tell us how they
please
do that.
Please do. Like,
they need to give the juice
up. Like, every, like, up until, like, the album, every one of our releases leaked early, and they had it first.
How do you hear that it's leaked?
Twitter. And I don't even have Twitter, but, like,
they add
Sean honestly sees all these, like, anytime something leaks, he's the first person to see it.
So even the
Wait,
stuff
that
he recorded,
that he's the one that's leaking.
No, he's not. This is crazy.
Even the stuff that he recorded in his home studio.
Yeah, because once you turn it in to the label, and like, okay, you have Def Jam, and then you have Universal Music, and you have all these like channels, and then it's like, okay, somebody can press a wrong button and it can hit YouTube early, or somebody can press a wrong button and it can premiere on Apple Music a day early, and that was happening. And these kids were seeing it first every single time. And then, like the fan sites or something, they'll, like, DM Sean, like, yo, is this supposed to be out? Which is cool, because now they're, like, I feel like we put the fear of God in them. Like, cause like yeah, push out, push it. But, like, early on, it would just be up. But now they, like, hit us up, which I, like, really appreciate.
Speaking of push up, what is your relationship with him as the head of Good Music? Like, do you have to run anything by him, or...
No, I think Sean's at the point now where it's like everybody just trusts him.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have
I trust him.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. They don't have to like stand over his shoulder per se because he's like built his own team and his own, you know, he is who he is as an artist now. Not to say he wasn't some years ago, but he'll tell you himself that he has grown so much. So they know one person they don't have to worry about is Sean.
Right.
But Pusha is like also somebody I've known since I was 18, and who's been super supportive. And like I just saw him the other day. He's like always he's one of the few genuine people in the industry, I feel like.
How do you feel about Sean getting that Rockefeller chain?
Well, crazy. That was crazy for all of us.
The best thing ever.
Yeah. I mean, we, you know, you can have all the chains in the world, but that's like the one, like, it's like worldwide. Like, I feel like out here, it's like, okay, Rockefeller chain and what, Diplomat chain maybe? But mm-hmm. like, the Rock chain is like the most iconic.
Yeah.
And the Jesus piece is right next to it, though. Yeah. Shout out to
actually, when everybody gets, when all the artists get Yeezys, like, before they come out.
Yeah, that's like. That's
do
like
you get those as well, or no?
No. I don't rock with it. No. that's not the fault of anybody on Good Music. I don't know why. But it's cool. I'm off Adidas.
That's fine.
Shout out to.
Shout out to John Wexler.
Shout out to John Wexler. But yeah, we're on some new vibes. Even though I am probably wearing Y3. Y3 is the exception. Shout out. Yeah.
Actually, what is it like to you know, walk into a show and to see an entire room full of people dressed up like you?
Like me?
Or like you, like Big Sean, like, you know, like
it's
people
tight.
Within
it's
like the circle.
It that's why I think I like shows more than I like music videos or like more internet type stuff, because it's in real life and you can like see reactions and see people. Yeah, you can like it's real life, so like somebody's gonna pull their phone out and take a picture of something you created, or like you see a kid wearing a t-shirt you made, or like you see a kid dressed exactly like Sean or Travis or Bryson. Mm-hmm. It's like instant gratification.
How do you feel about the Ill America stuff that you designed way back when?
I think it's still dope.
Yeah?
Oh my god. Yo, I wanted the white tee so badly.
Who presents white tee?
Yeah.
I just moved and like I have a box like
of those?
No, not of those. Just all the stuff we did. Like that I'm like, all right, I can't touch. Like it might be, you know.
Do you think any of it was like way ahead of its time?
Yes.
And could any of it come back?
It should.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it should.
What do you think about every artist now having a clothing line, a
pop-up shop,
yeah. Like,
I think it's cool because it's, you're not making money selling records unless you're like Adele and you're writing all the songs and producing. So it's like, yeah, make that merch money, make that show money. It's guys who like aren't on the radio or aren't on TV who are killing the merch and are killing the shows, like killing it. Like, yeah. I'm trying to be like Tech N9ne, like
yeah.
Fully self-sufficient. Like mm-hmm. You own everything, and you like, yeah. So like everybody should do a pop-up shop. Like, why not?
Yeah. So what is life like now? Now the album's out.
Yeah, it's
now
out. I haven't checked my phone in like an hour.
the first run of promo is done.
Yeah.
Now what do you get to do? You get to go home and relax and.
Well, no. But I think I have like a couple of days. My birthday's Wednesday, I think.
Nice.
So
wait, you and your brother are both?
No, my brother's a 27, so he probably won't be 21 by the time it's coming out. But
both born in February.
Yeah, both born in February. Yeah, so today I'm going to go to the pop-up shop.
Right.
What time is it? All right. We'll go to the pop-up shop and...
You're going to get us like 30 hoodies.
Got
right?
you. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep,
pull up.
That. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Well, it's a pullover. It's a cardigan.
Yeah. And tomorrow, I think Sean has to go to Houston and Vegas in the same day, but I'm not doing that. I'm going to go to LA for a couple hours and then go to Vegas.
Nice.
For Dre's. And then I'm going to chill for a couple days. And then.
Well, you've earned that.
Yeah. How nice is that?
Yeah. For a couple days.
You should creative direct your sleep.
I will be. Yeah. Ill pillows.
Yeah.
Candles. And yeah. I got like a spa day I have to like trade in or something.
Well, congratulations on everything. You've gone from your dreams to making everyone else's dreams. It's
Man, I'm still living my dreams. I'm like super grateful to be here.
Well, you're certainly getting out your dreams, so
yes,
you know.
I decided this was a great podcast.
Thanks for coming through, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's The Real, and thank you for rocking with us all week during February Surprise. Jeff, if people want to hear more episodes just like this one, if people want to find out more information about us And if people want to come to our headlining show at SOBs on February 23rd called Your Girls Tour, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, buy your tickets today, February 23rd, Your Girls Tour. We will be there on stage, rapping with you and at you. We can also be found on soundcloud.com/awasteoftime. We are also on soundcloud.com/itsthereal. That's where all of our music lives. We are on Instagram at itsthereal, Twitter at itsthereal, Facebook at itsthereal. If you want to search for us on iTunes, we are A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Also, we are on Snapchat. It's The Real, and It's The Real Eric, because It's The Real was taken.
Now, we like to spread the word about this podcast. That is a huge driver for all of our audience, and we like to tell that audience to tell their friends, to tell their family, to tell their in-laws, to tell their friends, to tell whoever they see on the street about A Waste of Time with It's The Real, and get this podcast into everybody's ears, and we know that it starts with us. So, Jeff, who do you want to tell?
Well, since I'm thinking back to people who we've known since they were, like, children.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mike Carson, yeah. Mike Wax.
Yeah.
I want to shout out Carla Moy.
Carla Moy?
The prodigy. Yeah,
Hustle Girl.
Hustle Girl from Canada. She was Drake's number one fan. She might still be Drake's number one fan.
Yeah,
and she is a DJ, and she is one of the best people out of Canada. Shouts to Hustle Girl. Shouts to Carla Moy.
Spread the word, Carla Moy. I would like to tell one of our best friends, David Cho. Now, we've shouted him out before, but I just want to say that David Cho is one of the smartest and most genuine people that we've ever met, and we appreciate his advice. Shout out to David Cho. Spread the word about A Waste of Time with It's The Real.
We're back Tuesday with a new episode.
Not for real, for real. See you then.